Welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour of 10. Whew, that was one heck of a roller coaster. It seems to have been postponed again. Not it seems to. It has been postponed again to the 21st of August to get just a bunch of technicalities out of the way. One of which I had with all my infinite wisdom, which was called heads of argument. Now, well, see, the thing is, with my dirty mind, hearing, you know, words like that makes me go like, is this, you know, one of those, couples thing, you know, thing, one of those things, couples do after an argument, you know, the heads of argument. But anyway, it turns out that they said, you know, there's a legal equivalent of it, and we are not going to dive into it because, well, that's how not, well, I still love my salary. This is a lot of tit for tat going on here. And this is where I like to, you know, I always like to point out from time to time that, technicalities matter more than most of us are aware of. Like, you know, we all had verbosity pointing out that, the way things are going to go, it's either we have to do it according to what the law of the land says, it's either we have a trial according to what the law of the land says, or we don't have a trial at all. Of course, for someone who's in a hot chili soup, you can expect them to, you know, start saying things like that. But basically to a larger degree, he's right. It would be very difficult to go on with a trial, you know, to go to a main trial when all the technicalities, the legal technicalities, are not adhered to. So the whole thing has been, again, thrown into the, future, and that is to the 21st of August, 2025. That's, a week after next week, Thursday. Now, for those of us that were listening to Judge Chengo, if I'm not pronouncing that, that name right, back in February, he kept on insisting that this case has been in pretrial for a very long time. Please, let's just take it to, you know, let's take it to trial so that we can get this over with. But the thing is, to go to main trial, you have to make sure that you have everything in order. Now, I'll just give you another example. Anyone that have been through conciliation or arbitration, and this is just under the labor court, this is where you don't have a judge, you have a conciliator or arbitrator, kind of like a, you know, like a teeny tiny tiny mini judge that's basically there to mediate the dispute that you know that the employer and employee are having. What they do, the first thing to do in any proceeding, any legal proceeding, the first thing you do is get the technicalities out of the way. Are you both aware of what we are here for? Now, the complaints that you are making against your employer, is he aware of what these complaints are? Did you put them in writing? Does he have a copy of the allegations that you are making against him? If the answer is no, that case is postponed. Now, a lot of people that, you know, a lot of people that find themselves in employer-employee dispute, I've met a lot of people that, I've run into a lot of people that would look at me and go like, well, I mean, it's just a piece of paper that I forgot to give him. I'm like, yeah, to you, it's just a piece of paper. To the conciliator or arbitrator, that's a big deal. Because, well, if this case, now what they're seeing here is that, if they allow that to go on, if they just slide all the technicalities under the rug and then allow it to go on, and the employer or the employee, refuses to basically take whatever judgment that comes out of that, and then from conciliation, of course, you're going to go to arbitration, and if you are not, anyone that's not satisfied with the ruling in arbitration, then you can just, if you have enough money, you can just take each other to a labor court. When it gets there, The first thing the magistrate is going to ask is, on all the levels that this dispute have been through, where all the technicalities adhered to. If the answer is no, we are back to square one. So it's a very technically, on a technical level, can be very exhausting. Very exhausting. So, a lot of people that find themselves on the wrong side of the on the wrong side of the law, what they do is they'll find themselves breaking into someone's house, and then they were like, when they are caught, they're like, it can't be that bad. I just stole a TV. Wait till you hear the judge pronounce what you did. First of all, you got into someone's premises without their permission, trespassing. That's a charge on its own. And then you broke their door, damage to properties. Oh, that's a different charge. That's a different charge. All right. And then you took someone's, property without them. A theft. Oh, that's a charge on its own. Now, if you threatened some of them with a weapon, okay, again, you caused them pain and suffering, emotional trauma, a charge on its own. And now, if you slapped one of them, assault. And if one of them bled or aggravated, now, by the time that you realize that, you are being charged with a whole list of charges, you are looking at yourself going, but I just stole a TV. Yeah, to you, you just stole a TV. According to Namibian law, every step you took, you were breaking the law. And every step you took and every law you broke is going to come with its number of months or years that you're going to be sentenced. Now, dear. Now, before you start speaking your broken Afrikaans that only ends at exalio stick, ask yourself one question. Do you really have money for a lawyer to spend 5 years in pretrial? But you know what? One thing that is at least having some significant progress as we speak, especially in this whole legal proceeding things, is the NAMCO bail application at the Windhoek Magistrate Court. For the third day now, we have the lead investigator who is undergoing, from the look of things, we are still in the stage of examination in chief. But let's switch to that side now, shall we?
The concerned funds, Your Worship. NAMCO, as a result, has suffered an actual prejudice. Therefore, Your Worship, public interest is there, and as well as the interest of the justice system in this regard.
The fifth applicant, Ms. Jennifer Hamukwaya, with regard to the seriousness of the charges, do you have a comment?
Your Worship, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to go back on the issue of interference with investigations when it comes to Mr. Mulunga, for example.
Please do.
Your Worship, and I'm mentioning this one because the vehicle is not there. This is a sign of interference with investigations, Your Worship. And I just wanted to make sure that I put it on record that that risk of even further interferences exists.
Yes, you can proceed. I had asked you with regard to the fifth applicant, Ms. Jennifer Hamukwaya.
Your Worship, in terms of the charges, they are serious. They are serious. She's facing charges, among others, corruption, money laundering, and as well as fraud, Your Worship. These are serious offenses, and which can try to escape justice, Your Worship, or invade justice in that regard.
What about the risk of absconding with regard to Ms. Hamukwaya, Jennifer Hamukwaya? You have a comment around that aspect?
Your Worship, because of the seriousness of the offense, the likelihood is there, Your Worship.
The aspect, I don't know if I asked you this, with regard to Ms. Hamukwaya interfering with the witnesses, do you have a comment around that aspect?
Your Worship, Given the fact that the accused person has been arrested, I mean, Ms. Amukwaya has been arrested, given the opportunity to be out there, Your Worship, I believe investigations, or rather, will be interfered with, because investigations is not yet completed, Your Worship.
Your Worship, I observe the trend, and the very unfortunate trend by the witness, the investigation officer, rather than testifying on facts, personal facts arising from his investigation, he keeps on saying, "I believe." This is not a church. He must speak to the personal knowledge arising from his personal investigation. If Mrs. Amukwaya tried to abscond and she was stopped, that would be very relevant to this court. Not about beliefs and opinion. That is against admissibility of opinion evidence. The opinion evidence is not admissible. Only the court can make an opinion based on proved facts. Please, the court, Your Worship.
Counsel, any comment?
Well, in bail proceedings, hearsay evidence is admissible. So I think I'll just ask the witness if he can rephrase, because I think from the onset we know that in bail proceedings, hearsay evidence is relaxed and the rules of evidence are also a bit relaxed. So I do not think the witness intended it with malice to say that, but I will just ask him to rephrase. Instead of saying "I believe," just tell us what you uncovered in your investigations.
So, do you understand?
That's correct, Your Worship.
Yes, we can then proceed.
Yes. with regard to Ms. Dunajski, the sixth applicant, let's go through the grounds, just like I've asked you. Interference with witnesses, do you have a comment?
Your Worship, investigations has established that some of the witnesses we approach to obtain evidence, they are a bit afraid. So the risk, Your Worship, even with Ms. Dunajski, is there, that the possibility for interference with investigations may happen.
What about the seriousness of the charges with regard to Ms. Dunajski as well?
Your Worship, we have given evidence which demonstrated the charges are serious, and therefore, Your Worship, there are serious charges, which we believe, Your Worship, if found guilty, she can be imposed, with a serious sentence, Your Worship.
The other grounds, if you have a comment that relates to the administration of justice, the risk of absconding as well on Ms. Dunajski, do you have a comment?
It's same with the others, Your Worship. The public, there is public interest as far as the case is concerned, because this money is the money that was lost from subsidiary of a public institution, and the value, Your Worship, it's not a small amount, it's a big amount, and therefore every citizen of this country should be concerned, as well as the justice system, Your Worship.
And lastly, with regard to any of the grounds, but I will be specific with Mr. Leo Stefanas Nandaho, with regard to interference with the witnesses, do you have a comment around that?
Your Worship, Let me not comment for now, Your Worship.
The seriousness of the charges that take into account, I think it's paragraph 42, that I've stated that he says he had...
Why I didn't comment, Your Worship, is because I thought we finished Leo, and that's why I did not want to contradict myself.
I do not think it's a laughable thing. The evidence has been overwhelming. I do not intend to do that intentionally. But then, Mr. Nambao, do you have anything to add in conclusion with regard to the charges against the accused persons, taking into account the grounds of objection in respect of any applicant that is before court? Perhaps something I didn't ask you that you want to bring to the attention of the court?
Before you proceed, I just want you to clarify. You have spoken about interference with investigations, but on the record, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, I did not hear you say this or that investigation is still outstanding. Do you understand?
I understand you.
Yes. So do you have any comment on that? What investigation is outstanding, if any?
Your Worship, a lot has been done in terms of the investigations. There are a number of suspects which still needs to be apprehended as part of the ongoing investigations. And Your Worship, we know that one of the suspects had fled the country, Your Worship. And the likelihood, Your Worship, of interference has been very high as far as the information that we are receiving. And hence, Your Worship, I've mentioned, Mr. Nandaho, that some of the information we received is as recent as just before he was arrested, Your Worship. Your Worship, the investigations, among others, is also looking into, the complicated financial transactions, Your Worship. As far as the charges of money laundering, Your Worship, you would remember, Your Worship, that we have demonstrated that this money moved from one account to another and another and so forth and so on, Your Worship. Your Worship, there were a number of assets that were procured, which the investigations is also still identifying, Your Worship. And therefore, Your Worship, the investigations, it's still ongoing. And Your Worship, hence the fear that should any of the accused be released, Your Worship, they will interfere to a great extent as far as that is concerned, Your Worship.
Yes, you were on the conclusion aspect. You can proceed.
Unless the witness has something to add, that will be evidence in chief. Did you have anything to add? Before maybe I've cut you short, you want to add anything?
No, Your Worship.
Your Worship, before we commence with cross-examination, just a 5-minute health break, then we can proceed. Just 5 minutes. We don't need a lot.
The court then briefly adjourns.
Ladies and gentlemen, almost 3 days later, the examination in chief of the lead ACC investigator in the case of NAMCO versus in the case of a state versus Range Rover Oil N1, you know, bail application, or if you want to be politically correct, in the matter of state versus Emmanuel Mlunga and 12 others. The examination in chief of the lead investigator comes to a conclusion. And the court is on a 5 minutes recess. And after that, we are now going to be listening to the cross-examination. And I can only imagine how spicy it's going to get. As you can imagine, one of the things that was pointed out towards the conclusion, or as we all had, one of the things that was pointed out, as the Mr. Inamba, concluded, was that the vehicle, aka the very, the Audi with very questionable ownership at this point, listening to Imsumulunga's side of the story as to the ownership of the Audi is RS something something. I'm too broke to know some of these things. According to him, it was owned by the gentleman who decided to reportedly run out of the country than face the law. I mean, look, sometimes running is a way of basically saying, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. Can easily, basically say I'm guilty. Now, the thing is, according to Mulunga's presentation, according to Mulunga's side of the story, the Audi is owned by Mulima, if I'm pronouncing that name right. And, according to the lead investigator, the car must be owned by Mulima, because according to Mulunga's cousin, who the ACC found out on their investigation by looking at records, that the car is registered on Mulunga's cousin. Now, and then she was, according to the investigator, she was asked, and she was like, I don't own it. And at this point, we're just going, oh, for the love of God, can the judgment just come? Because I'm tired of listening to contradicting stories. It's making my head spin. Now, I'm not saying it's not yummy comedy-wise, because, boy, it is. Now, and the cross-examination, as you can imagine, is going to also poke a lot of holes in terms of questioning to the presentation, or more like the side of the story that, the side of the story of this whole bail application opposition, as it was pointed out by the lead investigator. Homeboy has been standing for almost 3 days. He started, when was that, on Monday? Took the stand, I think, on Monday. That's when Jennifer Mkwaya's, cross-examination was concluded. And then now the lead investigator took the stand, and he was there the whole day yesterday. Well, the whole of Monday, the whole of yesterday, and half of today. Almost half of the day, still 10. Now, as you can imagine, he's still going to stand there to basically, to be cross-examined by the interested defense lawyers. And as you can imagine, that's not going to take 5 minutes. That's going to take the whole of today, if not the whole of tomorrow, and some parts, if not the whole of Friday. But now, that's just my point of view, seeing how it took examination in chief from Monday to Wednesday. My. Now, but not to worry, I think because while listening to the ACC lead investigator, one thing that just from when the gentleman started, it painted a picture to me that it gave me the same picture that Emmanuel Mlunga and Jennifer Mkwaya gave me, that these are people that know what they are doing. They basically knew their roles, the roles they were playing when they were in execution of their duties. Questionable though the execution may have been, they actually understood what they were doing because of how they presented it when they took the stand. Because if you're one of those people that was recruited because the guy that was in the office was a homie, and was your homie, and they put you on a stand to explain what the agreements you got into, how you got into them, what all the technical lingo means in terms of legal agreements, you know that takes place in the commercial world, and especially in the financial aspect of it, is really complicated. Again, making my head spin. Now, the lead investigator in this case, if you ask me, that I don't think ACC went very wrong, or you know, I don't think ACC went wrong on that, went wrong with that guy, because you know, in his introduction, he made it clear that he joined NAMPOL in 2000, and from 2000 to 2009, he was working for NAMPOL, not NAMCO, NAMPOL, as in Namibian Police, not Namibian Corporation, aka Range Rover Oil One, no, not that one. Namibian Police. Now, from 2000 to 2009, he was working for NAMPOL, and then joined the Anti-Corruption Commission from 2009, and was with them from 2009 to 2012, and then he decided to branch from the public sector to, and then joined the private sector that was with Standard Bank from 2012 to 2020, where he was a manager forensic investigator, whatever the heck that means. He said manager forensic investigation, but I think he meant investigator. At least that's what he said, investigation, but it doesn't, you know, the math is just not adding up. So I think he meant manager forensic investigator. But anyway, forensic investigator. Now, Standard Bank is a financial institution. So I'm assuming homeboy knows his way around the financial, he knows his way around the financial world. And that's a very complicated world that a lot of us just sit there going like, what are repo rates? What is GDP? That's how complicated that world is. So, the fact that the ACC picked him as the right man to take the stand in this bail application to provide information to the state, or more like to tell the financial, to tell the story on the side of the state, was that, well, they knew what they were doing. That is after looking at his resume. But anyway, joined Standard Bank as a manager forensic investigator from 2012 to 2020. Just put in mind that this is not the first time he's working for the Anti-Corruption Commission. He worked for them from 2009 to 2012. That's a period of about 8 years. Really, 4 years, sorry. My math. I'm multiplying anything by two. I wish I could do that to the money in my bank account. Then he rejoined the ACC again from Standard Bank. So in November 20, the timeline is from 2000 to 2009, he was with the Namibian Police, and then joined the Anti-Corruption Commission from 2009 to 2012, and then joined he was with Bank Windhoek from 2012 to, not Bank Windhoek, pardon me, Standard Bank. From 2012 to 2020, and also in the same year that he left Standard Bank in 2020, in November of that very same year, rejoined the Anti-Corruption Commission, of which he still is working for to this day. I bet he's looking at Standard Bank going, why did I leave? Because now I have to investigate and testify for these guys. But anyway, now, according to him now, according how he sort of like gave us a blueprint of how this whole story started. Look, this is the story I was waiting for. I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, because I was tired of reading the whole thing from newspapers, blah, blah, blah. But according to the lead investigator of the anti-corruption and the investigating guys, you know, the guys that were like, we need to arrest this guy and that guy and that, you know, the guys that made the decision before we read everything off social media. So, because this is Mind the Gap, and so I decided to start the story with once upon a time, on the 7th of February of 2024, he was assigned to investigate an anonymous complaint. He, Mr. Inabel, was assigned to investigate an anonymous complaint that the commission, aka the Anti-Corruption Commission, received coming from NAMCO. Now, this is where, perspective now is everything. So, if you're on the side, now, if you're one of those people who were named in this, in that anonymous, and there were names that were mentioned, alright. So the names, some of the names that were dropped, I will just bring them to you. But now, anyway, some were, you can look at that as a snitching or anonymous tip. Now, if you are anti-corruption, it's an anonymous tip. Now, if you are one of those people that were busy doing questionable things that led to the individual putting this anonymous tip together, you can call them a snitch. Now, whether they compile this anonymous tip because, well, he didn't give them a share, or that's because, or just because, or maybe they just have one straight up moral compass and they don't like that being compromised. Whichever, we don't care. All we know is the story is juicy and we're gonna talk about it. Now, the anonymous report indicated that, Mr. Cedric Willemse, accused number two, maybe, that's the language that's used. Not me, not Eagle FM. Man, I love my job. Now, Cedric Willemse, that's one of those names that were, that's one of those names that were dropped, that were mentioned in the anonymous tip that the, you know, that the ACC received. Now, after the ACC received it, on the 7th of February 2024, ACES was like, Mr. Inabel, you are the right man for the job, oh yeah. Investigate. Now, the anonymous tip or anonymous report indicated that Mr. Cedric Willemse accused, Mr. Cedric Willemse may be accused in corrupt, may be involved in corrupt activities, i.e., he was, depositing large sums of money in his bank account, of which I went, huh? Depositing large sums of money in your bank account is a red flag. It turns out, this is my favorite part. It turns out, if you just, at work, if you just concluded a multi-million dollar deal with a private company, and then the next day you are depositing large sums of money in your personal bank account, it turns out it raises a lot of red flags. I did not know that. So now, if you're in public office and you're planning on stealing some money, moral of the story here is if you are going to steal some money from, I'm not saying it's what Willemse here did. I'm just saying if you are going to get involved in something questionable, aka, channeling some of public funds in your private bank account, give it at least a week. Hey, the court have resumed. We continue after that. Okay, in 3 minutes I have to go. Because, well, I have home run to prepare for. The court has resumed. Let's get to the cross-examination. We can see Brosisa is already standing. And this should be fun.
Exhibit D1, closed by you, your worship, and D2, and I have an additional cross-examination bundle, and I have provided my colleagues with copies, as well as with the witness, your worship. We will give it a name at a later stage, your worship. So those three documents will mostly be the one being used by me in cross-examination, your worship. May I then proceed?
You can proceed.
Now, Mr. Inabel, you told the court that you have worked for the Namibian police.
That's correct.
You must have undergone training as a police officer.
That's correct.
Where you also did that also entails being trained on the imperatives and provisions of the Namibian constitutions, including the one about liberty of individuals?
That's correct.
Have you been trained on the provisions of the CPA, that is the Criminal Procedure Act, relating to when to arrest and so forth?
That's correct.
I must assume that you must have also gotten some training as far as the Anti-Corruption Commission is concerned, including training as to when to arrest and for what reasons.
Your Worship, that's correct.
Have you come across a judgment of Hairuru versus the Director of Anti-Corruption Commission?
I know about it, but I haven't read it.
Why have you not read it? It's an important judgment that criticized your colleagues as far as arrest is concerned. Why have you not read it?
Your Worship, I indicated I haven't read it, so...
Okay, so should I take it you do not know what it says about what you should do when you decide to arrest somebody?
I have no comment, Your Worship.
Why do you not have comment?
Well, I'm not sure the relevance of the question to me right now. You can just go ahead and ask me what you want to ask me.
Sir, I will ask the court to direct. It's not for you to determine relevancy. Answer questions. If you cannot answer, it's fine. I will use it
against
you. Yes,
I said I have no comment for that question.
Okay, let me just advise you. It's not for you to decide what is relevant. You understand? Do you understand?
I don't know whether he's warning the witness or what. I think he must just treat him with dignity. He has stated his reasons. I think he must respect the witness and not threaten him to say, do you understand?
This is all what we do when a witness is telling counsel about. It's not relevant. In fact, the court, Meromoto, can immediately say it's not your duty to do that. I simply ask, do you understand?
Sir, do you understand?
Your Worship, I do.
Okay. Yes, we can. Now, can you take the white bundle, and Your Worship is a new bundle I'm talking about? And can I ask you to go to page 60? Your Worship, the new bundle at page 60. That is the judgment of the Supreme Court, or the High Court, by Justice Judge President Damaseb. Can you read out paragraph 98 at page 60? Read it out.
I am satisfied that the applicant has made out a case that respondents failed to apply their mind to whether or not it was necessary to effect the arrest of the applicant instead of simply summoning or warning him to appear at court to answer the charges.
Okay. Now,
you asked me to read the paragraph and I want to...
No. I will... I'm the one... when I say stop, just stop. You will read. Now, do you realize that now, as far as the High Court is concerned, our jurisprudence is that the arrester needs to consider whether or not an arrest is necessary as against summoning a person or warning a person. Do you have comment on that?
Your Worship, among the other considerations, there are various ways in which an accused or a suspect's attendance can be secured to court.
Yes.
Summons warning being one of them. And so is an arrest as well.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
The most invasive one is the arrest. The most gravest one in terms of intruding in people's liberty is the arrest. Do you know that?
That's correct.
And the less harsh one are the summons, warning, and indictment.
That's correct.
Okay. I will come back to that issue. Now, You realized this morning that I objected to the manner you were referring to yourself as part of the estate when you were testifying. You remember?
Yes, I do.
Now, during your training, were you ever trained that when you give evidence and when you do your work as an investigating officer, you must be impartial and objective in doing your work?
In fact, Your Worship, that is the objective of the investigations, is to be impartial and to be objective.
Okay. Do you agree with me that role and the nature of your work to be objective, fair, and impartial also include in their application?
That's correct.
That will mean that it's not open to you to suppress information that is in favor of an accused person during bail application. If there is information that is in favor of the accused person on the charges, on matters pertaining whether or not he will abscond, you must avail those that information to court. Do you agree with me?
I agree.
It's not for you to suppress or conceal information that is in favor of the accused. You agree?
Yes, when it's in favor of the accused, yes, I definitely agree.
Okay. So, and it's not your duty, and it's not your duty to exclusively tender evidence that only supports the objection to bail. Do you agree with me?
I agree.
Okay. When you testified yesterday and today, did you subscribe to such requirements? Did you conduct yourself in accordance to such requirements?
As far as the evidence I provided before the court, Your Worship, I believe it was objective because it was objectively obtained during the investigations.
Okay, turn to the record, Your Worship, the new bundle, the white one. Can you go to page 124? That is a judgment in a bail matter authored by Justice Maritz and Damas Ebegain of the High Court, S versus Swanepoel. Are you at page 124?
I'm there.
Now, can you read the last four sentences of lines of paragraph 2, which start with Mr. Kutondokwa? If you can just read it out for the record.
Mr. Kutondokwa concedes, in our view, correctly so, that he did not present his evidence in an objective and unbiased fashion as he expected, as is expected of a police officer entrusted with investigations of a case. Hence, I am reluctant to attach much weight on his opinion.
Yes, Mr. Kutondoko was the prosecutor there, but the statement pertains to the investigating officer. So do you understand the caution by the High Court that one should not seek to testify in a manner that is biased? Otherwise, your evidence will not carry weight. Do you understand that?
Your Worship, I've just read half of this. I didn't read the other context.
Yes,
so for me to commit to whether I understand it or not.
Read the paragraph. I give you time. You read the whole paragraph. That paragraph. The second one.
Yes. Must I read it in full?
Yeah. Just take your time and you don't need to read it so that you answer. Maybe just read it whichever. Yes.
Yes.
Whichever it is.
Whichever it is a matter to be determined by the court before which the appellant is likely to stand trial in due course. I should perhaps pause here to say that the investigating officer expressed strong views about the strength of the state's case against the appellant. The court will, of course, have regard to such views as was pointed out in State versus Duplessis and another 1992 NR74HC in bracket. The court is, however, not bound by those views. What is of some concern to us is that the acronyms, manner in which the investigating officer gave his testimony suggested that he entertained a degree of animosity towards the appellant or her legal representative.
Yes, other part you read already.
Yeah.
So you understand what it is meant, that one must be unbiased.
Yes, give me a second just to... I've just read it, so I just want to make sure that I complete it. Yes, I understand.
Yes, so you agree with me that if you seek to behave as if you are there as a part of the state to exclusively tender evidence in support of the objection, and you are partial in that way, then you run the risk of your evidence to carry less weight. This is actually what is meant by the two judges of the High Court.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I will deal with about four broad areas in cross-examination. The first one will to test whether or not you went into something that you understand, investigating this commercial transaction and so forth. The second one will be whether or not the arrest was necessary. The third one will be that to demonstrate to you that, in fact, you did not even come closer to the standard required to arrest my clients. You shouldn't have arrested them. And I will then end in demonstrating that you have no case whatsoever and that you abused your power. You understand? So understand me when I ask questions. Now let's start with the first one. Have you done law of contract?
No, Your Worship.
Commercial law?
No, Your Worship.
Not at all. Whether adversity or... Listen to me. Whether adversity or at work to enable you to competently investigate commercial crimes.
You're saying
you have never done even a basic case in law of contract or commercial.
I haven't done, any qualifications relating to law of contract, Your Worship.
Yes.
Your Worship, yesterday the court asked what my qualifications were, and I did demonstrate what qualifications I possess, Your Worship.
So the answer being?
I answered already. I said no, I didn't do...
Okay, so I will assist you. It's fine. Now, have you heard of something called voidable contract? Not void, but voidable.
No, Your Worship.
You have never heard about it. Now, I want you to go to the bundle page 180, your worship page 180. Your worship, for your note, the witness is being referred to that case of Bowditch versus Peel. Judgment by Justice Innes, Chief Justice, and I just want the witness to read the portion before I proceed. The last four sentences. Mr. Inambao, at page 180, read from that judgment the last four sentences, starting with a person.
A person who has been induced to contract by material and fraudulently misrepresentation of the other party may either stand by the contract or claim a rescission.
A rescission. Okay, just hang on there. Rescission is a cancellation.
Or do you understand what it means?
No, I understand.
Okay, you understand that rescission means cancellation.
From what you said.
Yeah, just I said I understand.
Sir,
when I say stop, so that if you are not looking at me when I ask, otherwise you fall into.
No, I wanted to make sure that I put my finger where I stopped.
Okay.
So when you ask me to continue, I can easily continue.
Okay, no, it's fine. So now, do you understand that it's saying if a person, in this case can be a company, is induced to enter into a contract by a material and fraudulent misrepresentation, that party you can choose or you can elect to stand, in other words, to keep the contract going, or you have an option in law to cancel. Do you understand such a simple principle? You do now understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you read the next one? Read. You can skip foot 4.3 and whatever. Start with it follows.
It follows that he must make his election between those two inconsistent remedies with a reasonable time. Within a reasonable time.
Yes.
As I continue on the next page.
Yes, yes, yes.
After knowledge of the deception.
Yes. Proceed.
And the choice of one necessarily involves abandonment of the other.
And the most crucial part?
He cannot both approach and reprobate.
He cannot both approbate and reprobate. Okay. Let's just stand there. Now, the first paragraph which says that if you are saying you are induced by fraud to enter into contract, you must make a choice. Decide whether you want it nevertheless to continue or you want to cancel. Do you understand? That is a simple contract.
Yeah.
But you cannot be jumping around on this. Today you are saying you are canceling, tomorrow you are saying the agreement is going on. You must make one choice. You understand that simple contractual principle?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to ask you, and I want to give you a letter at page accused number one bundle, that is exhibit your Lord, your worship, B2, E2, your worship, exhibit, assistant, if you can assist court, please, with E2. Yes, page 8-9, your worship. Remember, the allegation.
To get to the page.
Is the quote at page 8-9 where there is a letter?
Yes.
Now, remember, you have spoken about a lot of fraud and there are charges that Namco was induced by fraud and so forth. Remember, that is a background. And there is an asset acquisition or purchase agreement.
That's correct.
So in other words, the principle that I just dealt with is very, very relevant to the issue that we are discussing. Because you made the allegation that Namco was induced to enter into an agreement through fraud. Now, the letter, have you seen that letter of the 5th of October addressed to Enecon? 5th of October, your worship, 2023, addressed to Enecon. And written by one Mr. Shiwanan Deunyema, acting managing director. If you look at page 90, your worship. Have you ever seen that letter?
Yes, your worship.
Okay. If you have seen it, something must have struck you immediately. And I want you to read it for the record. It's paragraph 5. Can you read out paragraph 5? for the record. And keep the principle we discussed with you in mind. Can you read it out for the record? Now, this is Nanko now speaking to Enekon in October 2023.
We hereby retract the fact that...
No, reiterate, not retract.
Oh, my apologies, Your Worship. We hereby reiterate that the fact that the asset purchase agreement between the parties thereof remains
therefore
remains intact, valid, and binding until such time as the conditions of the reinvestment of the funds stated under clause 2 above is met, and the settlement agreement is signed between the parties.
Okay, just hang on there. What is your investigation? Namco did it decide, it appears in this letter that it decided to abide by the contract, assuming there was fraudulent misrepresentation. It made, remember, you cannot probate and approbate, reprobate.
Yeah.
It appears from this letter, Namco decided to abide by the contract. Hence, they are saying this agreement remains intact, valid, and binding more than a year after it was entered. Do you agree with me?
Not that I agree with you in totality, because, you know, remember when you are looking at the civil aspect, and this is what Namco was trying to, I believe, mitigate. They were still trying to see if they could...
No. I don't care whether it is civil or criminal. I'm asking you, it appears from this letter that Namco did, in terms of the law, choose not to void the agreement, but to abide, hence tearing Enekon. The agreement remained intact, valid, and binding. It made a choice in accordance with the law of contract and commercial law.
You want me to respond?
Any comment?
No comment for now, Your Worship.
Yes, there will not be a comment because it's a fact. Let's proceed for a while. Do you know that at the beginning of this case, there were preliminary charges that were furnished to my clients on the date of appearance in court? Do you know that?
That's correct, Your Worship.
Do you know that we complained bitterly and that we want specific and clear charges so that we are able to defend our clients in the bail application? You must have known that.
I knew that.
Because of that, we were told the prosecutors are going to consult the investigating officer, come up with clear and concise charges, and we were then given the... what was called complete and clear charges. Do you know about that?
I'm aware of it, Your Worship, but I believe the charges are still preliminary because of the amount of time that the state had to, or rather the prosecution team had to come up with the charges.
You don't trust them?
Your Worship, investigations are still going, and at that point in time, they needed to...
You don't trust the... No, I'm saying... No, I asked you that we were told these are the concise charges because we protested. Did the state mean it? Did the state mean it? You are assisting the state in terms of the charges. Or I'm trying to say, did you cooperate? You, were you consulted when the charges were framed? Were you consulted?
Yes, I assisted to...
Oh. Okay. So that means that if my clients, the Elindis, are accused of committing fraud on the 15th of July 2022, that must either have come from the docket or from you. I'm referring to, if you can take the next bundle, you can, may I ask the court to take D2.
What page?
Due to yours, at page, starting with fraud charge against Mr. Peter Erindi, at page 14, D2. But at page 14, Mr. Inamba. Now, you see that the date we were given is specific, that my client made misrepresentation, in other words, fraud alleged was that was committed on the 15th of July, 2022. You see that? In the fraud charge, count number 34.
15th of July, 2022?
Yes.
Yes.
And that is the date?
Both Mr. Malakia Elindi and Peter, the charge is the same. Fraud, that fraud was committed on that date. You see that?
I see that, Your Worship.
Yes.
But other than just seeing it, it's perhaps better for it to be read so that it makes context, because otherwise, it's just a date.
No, sir. It doesn't work that way. All I'm asking you, do you see that it is said fraud was committed on the 15th of July 2022 at window?
Yes, that I see.
Okay. And that must, and you agree with that?
Your Worship, and hence I was saying, without completing the charge, I'll not be able to confirm as to whether I agree
okay.
or not.
Look at the charge. Let me give you, what do you want to check? Look at the charge.
It's not what I want to check. It's, you asked me if I agreed, and I'm saying I cannot agree if I haven't read the charge.
Sir, are you not the investigating officer? The charge says my client committed fraud on the 15th of July. 2022, and they were prepared with your assistance.
Mr. Namanje, I am saying I needed to read the charge other than me committing to a date alone.
Your Worship, can the witness please answer a simple question? It cannot go on like that.
Yes, you have confirmed the date 15 July. The next question was, do you agree with the date 15 July 2022? As per that charge.
Your Worship, and that is what I could not agree to, because I haven't read to see what the charge entails. Yes, it says fraud on this date, but I needed just to verify to see what the context of the charge.
Read, it is there, a few paragraphs. It's your charges.
Thank you, and that's all I wanted to do.
Okay, sir, just proceed.
Shall I read it silently, or...
I think the witness is playing with respect.
Whereas the accused, let me start from the beginning. That the accused is guilty of the crime of fraud, whereas the accused did on the 15th day of July 2022 at or near Windhoek in the district of Windhoek, that did wrongfully, unlawfully, falsely, and with intent to defraud, give out, and pretend to NAMCOR, and there's a B, that he was to sell 9 service stations to NAMCOR while he was not in a position to do so.
Yes, before you proceed, the question was just whether you agree with the date 15 July 2022 as stated above.
Yes, Your Worship, I agree with the date.
Okay. That, I will note it down. So, and who committed fraud on that date?
Your Worship, the charge here, charge count 34, Your Worship, is for Peter Hango Elindi.
No, yes. So, are you saying he committed fraud on the 15th of July 2022?
Yes, Your Worship.
Okay. By doing what? What conduct, what action or omission occurred on the 15th of July?
And Your Worship, this is why I wanted to read this in fully, but I'm going to answer you. On the 15th of July, this is when Mr. Malakia and Peter Elindi accepted the commercial offer that was made by NAMCOR to purchase
Okay.
The assets.
Okay. So, I'm very specific. I'm very sensitive with words. So remember, I asked you, I want to, fraud is committed through
misrepresentation,
a conduct.
Yes.
If it is a concealment, it can be an omission. You agree with me? Do you agree with me, Mr. Investigating Officer?
I agree with you, Your Worship.
Okay. So the act, in other words, what they did to commit fraud, according to you, is accepting a commercial offer. Is that what you say?
Yes, Your Worship.
So someone must have made an offer to them.
That's correct.
Remember, corporate entities do not speak, do not walk, do not communicate. They act through persons, individuals. Do you agree with me?
Agreed.
Okay. Who is the person that made an offer on behalf of NAMCO?
Mr. Mulonga.
And on the part of Enecon, the persons who accepted, you say, it's Peter and Marakia. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So as far as fraud is concerned from Enecon's side, it was executed by two directors by accepting an offer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Who made misrepresentation to whom?
Your Worship.
On that day?
Your Worship, I believe all the accused that are charged with the same offense, including...
Sir, who made misrepresentation in fraud? There must be a person, a company doesn't speak. Somebody must be a victim. Somebody must be misled and induced to act at his prejudice. Who, let's deal first with the person who made the misrepresentation. Who was that?
Your Worship, both Mr. Malakia, Peter Elindi, and Mr. Mulonga.
Okay.
NAMCOR Trading is the one which ultimately suffered a prejudice at the end of the day.
I'm not asking about prejudice yet. Listen to the question. Prejudice is another element. I'm simply asking you. So you said now misrepresentation was made by the two. To whom? You are saying, are you suggesting that misrepresentation was made by three people? Are you saying that?
Yes, Your Worship. I believe Mr. Mulonga has a charge of fraud as well.
No, I'm not asking whether Mulonga has a charge. I'm asking something specific on my client. What happened on the 15th of July?
I answered it, Your Worship.
Okay, let's go over again. Peter and Malakia Elindi, you said they made misrepresentation by accepting a commercial offer. You say that under oath.
That's correct.
When they accepted the commercial offer, Mr. Mulonga was not acting for Eneco.
That's correct.
So it is them who accepted the commercial offer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that is what you call a misrepresentation.
Your Worship, if you look at the commercial offer alone, one cannot really say it's a misrepresentation. It's the subsequent actions that transpired after the offer was accepted,
no,
Your Worship.
No, no. Don't tell me, tell the court about the offer. I'm asking about the acceptance. Those are two different things. Because you say, on the 15th of July, Mr. Mulonga and Marakia committed fraud by making a misrepresentation when they accepted a commercial offer. So all I wanted to know, Mr. Mulonga, on your version, is not in the acceptance by Enecon. It's not part of it.
Of course, of course.
Okay. If acceptance is the misrepresentation, it must be targeted to somebody. Is that correct?
Yes.
And directed to somebody.
Yes.
Okay. Before we proceed, remember the elements of fraud. Do you know them?
I know them.
It's an intentional, fraudulent misrepresentation directed to someone who is, of course, the victim, with an intention for that person to act at his or her prejudice. Do you understand?
Your Worship.
Just listen.
I understand.
You understand. Okay. Now, to whom? Not NANCO as an organization, because he doesn't speak. To whom was this misrepresentation was directed as acting for NANCO so that that person act at his prejudice? Who is that individual, the victim?
Your Worship, as I indicated, neither the board members would have suffered an actual loss. NANCO suffered the actual loss, and that is where the prejudice.
Sir, listen to my question. I will come to prejudice. I'm not dealing with that. On the 15th, there was misrepresentation made, you said.
That's correct.
Who was targeted? To whom was it directed? So that that person on that day act at NANCO's prejudice.
Mr. Murunga.
Okay. So Mr. Murunga is the person who was misled to act at his prejudice. Then he's the victim.
Your Worship, I can't say Mr. Murunga is the victim because he was representing NANCO Trading.
Yes, I know, but elements of fraud. A misrepresentation goes to somebody so that you act, you are misled to act at your prejudice. Here, Mr. Murunga is representing NANCO. NANCO doesn't speak, sir.
Your Worship, when people act with a common goal, they can still commit fraud against an entity.
Oh. Was somebody misled? Not NANCO. An individual representing NANCO on the 15th, was somebody misled?
Your Worship, as far as the evidence is concerned, Mr. Murunga represented NANCO.
Was somebody misled on behalf of NANCO?
Yes, Your Worship.
Yes. Who is that?
Mr. Murunga.
Okay. Yes, very good. That's what I wanted. Where is Mr. Murunga?
He's here in court.
As an accused person.
That's correct.
Notwithstanding he has been misled.
Your Worship, and when we look at the charge.
Notwithstanding him.
Yes.
I think if the witness is still answering, he must let him complete his question and then proceed to the next question.
Apologies
accepted.
Yes. Okay, remember you said he's the one that was misled by my clients on the 15th. Tell us, you were explaining.
Yes, I'm saying, and this was the reason why I initially wanted to read the charge. Because you see, when you look at the charge, it says NANCO, because he represented NANCO.
But that we know, that is not in dispute.
Okay, sure.
That's why I explain you the basic. Companies do not speak. They are not human beings.
Of course.
When a company is a victim, it's because one of its director or employee was misled. And you chose Mr. Murunga. Is that correct?
I didn't choose him. He is the person that gave the offer, the commercial offer on behalf of NANCO Trading.
No. I will come to that. Okay, now, how was Mr. Murunga misled? Set it out, I will summarize it.
Let's go. Do you know what is misleading?
Namcor Trading, through Mr. Mulonga, made an offer to acquire fuel, storage facilities, yes. Valve fuel storage facilities. Yeah. Those storage facilities has never been acquired by Namcor to date, or Namcor never enjoyed the opportunity of.
Okay.
So had Enercon or the directors of Enercon indicated that they were not in a position to sell those assets to Namcor, they could have done so.
And okay. But Mr. Mulonga testified in this court. He is actually the one who offered to my client. The offer came from Namcor, not the other way. The offer to purchase came, there must be an offer in contract and acceptance. Do you understand?
I hear you.
Which comes first?
Your Worship, it's clear that the offer was made by Mr. Mulonga.
Okay. Now, before he made an offer, there was no misrepresentation. You said misrepresentation happened on the 15th of July. So he was never induced, because the misrepresentation you will rely on is after the event.
Your Worship, the offer was made on the 15th of July.
No, on the 8th, said. The commercial, you don't know your case.
Ah, my apologies.
Yes. The offer was made on the 8th.
Yes, the offer was made on the 8th.
Yes. But I think you don't understand.
Wait.
Yes.
Yes, the offer was made on the 8th.
Okay.
And accepted.
On the 15th.
No. The asset purchase agreement was signed on the 15th.
Yes.
Not the offer was already signed by the 15th.
Yes, but you are the one that told court today that the acceptance was made on the 15th. I'm just going with your evidence.
No. We were going on the charge.
Yes. And I asked you what happened on the 15th, and you said they accepted. Everybody's writing them.
Oh, and that was the reason why I really wanted to go through the charge.
You continue going there. We are done with
okay. No. On the 15th, that was the purchase, the asset purchase agreement that was signed.
But that's how it works. First, there must be an offer.
And we agree.
Okay.
There was an offer which was accepted.
So, seriously, you are becoming dangerous to your own case. Look. There is an element of inducement in fraud. Do you agree with me? That you must be induced to act to your prejudice. Do you agree?
Of course.
So if there was no misrepresentation prior to the 8th of July, then it follows that Mr. Mulonga was never induced by fraud when he offered to buy Enercon's asset.
Just pause.
Lawyers will know that immediately I'm making sense and you are not making sense.
Just repeat your question.
Look, say you said you have done police training. Fraud is about making a misrepresentation.
I know the definition of fraud.
Let me just assist you. The misrepresentation must be made with an intention for somebody to do something at his or her prejudice.
That's correct.
In other words, the misrepresentation must occur first before somebody does act at his or her prejudice. Do you agree with me?
I agree with you.
You can't have a misrepresentation after the person has acted at his or her prejudice. You agree with me?
I agree.
Okay, let's then start. I have already fixed you to a particular day, that is 15 July. You said that is the day my client made
a misrepresentation to Mr. Murung. That's what you said. You are bound by that evidence under oath. You said that.
Your Worship, I confirm that was the date when the asset purchase agreement was signed by Mr. Malatia and Peter Elindi.
Yes, but you...
And that is where the misrepresentation happened.
Yes, yes, yes. That's correct. I'm trying now to poke holes all over your case. Look, but Mr. Murunga already acted on the 8th when he offered. He even fixed the amount himself on behalf of NAMCOR. Is that correct?
That's correct.
If the misrepresentation was later on the 15th, there was no act to induce him in fraud when he authored the letter on the 8th of July. Do you understand?
Your Worship, remember the charges when we started saying, I said there might be preliminary charges.
Are you now casting doubt on it? You're abandoning it.
I'm not casting doubt, Your Worship. Even when I testified during the examination in chief,
yes,
I was very specific of the offer, the commercial offer that was made on the 8th and the agreement having been signed on the 15th.
But now you are, when I ask you, and now you are trying to say, why are you telling me that they are preliminary? You appear to be telling me we were given half-cooked charges.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so, but you answered my questions then. And my clients are facing serious charges. You people have been leaking information to the newspapers. I will come and deal with that.
Your Worship, I don't know whether that statement was necessary that we have been leaking.
I will come and put it to you. I will stand by it.
Okay.
But all I'm trying to say is, sir, when Mr. Murunga, on behalf of, I'm not saying he did something wrong, made an offer, he was not induced by a fraudulent misrepresentation by Peter Elindi and Malaki Elindi. It's very clear from your own evidence.
Yes, but they could also have said no.
No, no, no. Let's first agree. There was no fraudulent misrepresentation before the 8th of July, on your own version.
That's correct.
So it's not Peter Elindi and Maratia Elindi who instigated NAMCO, who induced NAMCO, or, to use brute language, seduced them to offer to buy the title, right, and interest in those assets.
Your Worship, as much as Mr. Namanje, you are talking about the title and rights, and this is why we are here, because NAMCO or Mr. Murunga had offered to purchase the fuel storage facility. At that point, they should have said, no, we can't sell this to you.
That's not what I'm asking. I will come to that. You continue running away from the real question. Okay, fine. Okay, then on the 8th, then we know that on the 15th of July, my client signed the contract, written contract. Is that correct?
That's correct.
On that day, was the agreement concluded in law or not?
The agreement was only concluded on the 18th after it was signed by Mr. Murunga.
By Mr. Murunga?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, remember, I asked you, which comes first? Is it an offer or an acceptance? You remember I asked that?
Yes.
And you said?
The offer was first.
And then
the offer is first.
You cannot accept something that does not exist.
Yes, but you can also, yes, you cannot accept also something that you cannot offer.
No. I'm not talking about that. You can just listen to the questions, please. Okay? Let's go on. Now, who drafted the agreement?
NAMCOR Trading, or NAMCOR itself.
Do you know about a principle that if the agreement is not is ambiguous and there is something that is not clear, then the law uses it. It will be used against the party that drafted the agreement. Do you know about that principle?
No, Your Worship.
You don't know. When you were investigating, you didn't come across such a principle, because it will be very relevant, that principle, in this matter. You don't know.
Your Worship, I answered already.
Okay. Can you go to the white bundle that we hand up Your Lordship today, Your Worship today? Yes, the law of contract lecturer is already stating it. Page 160. That is a judgment of Mbabus versus Motor Vehicle Accident Fund 2016, Volume 3, NR 605, authored by Deputy Chief Justice Damaseb. I want you to read paragraph 52. No, start with paragraph 53. Read it out, please. At page 160.
Yes, I'm there.
Yes, can you read 52?
Although he does not, you said 53?
No.
You said
yeah, 53. No, 53, yeah.
Although he does not assign any legal label thereto, in my view, Mr. Namanje's submission raised against the fund two important principles of our law.
I think just read for context. Read. In my view, Mr. Namanje's submissions raise against the fund two important. Continue.
Yes, two important principles of our law.
Mm-hmm.
Contra preferentem and yes. Declaration against own interest, or combination of the two.
Yes, go to 54.
As Christy aptly remarks, the preference is the party to the contract who, whether personally or through his agent, is the author of the wording of the contract, and the rationale of the contra preferentem
yes.
rule is simply that if that wording is incurably ambiguous, its author should be the one to suffer, because he had it in his power to make
his meaning
plain.
Okay, so it's common, cause the agreement was drafted by NAMCO legal team. Did you investigation find them?
Yes.
Okay. They are the one. So NAMCO and its agent are the author of the agreement. Not Eneco.
That's right.
Evil terms, evil ambiguity, if any, as we will continue, they are the author. On the basis of that principle, if there is anything unambiguous, it works against NAMCO, not against Eneco and its director.
As far as the civil process is concerned.
No. It's fine. You are in a danger. You appear not to know the things, but that's all what I'm trying to say.
Of
whatever
course.
There, it's offered by NAMCO.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
Okay. Let me then.
It's an objection. I have to state that from the onset, I think we have been dealing with the law of contract. And I think it has been said. In fact, I have been criticized that what is the relevance. So for me, I do not see any relevance to bombard this witness with questions that relate to the law of contract and refer him to cases. That is not for him to interrogate or to interpret. I think he has already indicated that he did not study the law. And to expect him and to confine him to questions that relate to the law of contract, I think it's very unfair. These issues that we are bogged down with, these are issues that can be argued on a later stage. I do not know how long Mr. Namanje wants to labor on this issue, but I do not think they are relevant to the current issue as we are dealing with the issues of bail.
With the greatest respect, your worship, in fact, not even relevant, but highly relevant. And I did not ask the witness to give opinions. I said, where you do not know, I will assist you so that you understand. It's very relevant, your worship. May I proceed, your worship? I want to move to another aspect.
Do you want to move to another aspect?
Yes.
Okay, then you can move to the other aspect.
Yes. There's something strange with. Did you read these charges? Did you read them?
Your worship.
Yesterday you said you read them.
Your worship, yesterday I was asking for the charges. That's why I wanted to go through this charge. So if you ask me about the charge, and I wanted to go through the charge so that before providing any answers.
No. When are you saying you have never seen these charges in your preparation for this bail application?
Your worship, can we proceed to the next question?
No. Your worship, can the witness...
The question was, did you read the charges? Did you read them or you did not read them?
Yes, your worship, during the time when the state was preparing, I was there, I looked at them, but I know they were revised at some point.
So, when you read them, you were happy with the charges? As they are framed?
I'm still happy with the charges.
Okay. Let me give you an example. That is troubling me before I start with the new aspect. If the court bundle D2, and I want to ask the witness in relation to the charges relating to accused number 4 in the bail application, Dunaiski is applicant number 6. Where are the charges? Her charges start at page 12. Yes.
Her charges?
Yes.
But you are referring to her charges?
Yes.
Why her charges, not your client's charges? If I understand. You are saying, you are referring to...
Yes, because the charge relates, there is something about my clients in there.
That is what I'm asking, why her charges, but yes.
Okay, may I?
What, at what page?
12.
Mr. Namanje, which bundle?
Okay, it's...
Which bundle?
D2, the one with the charges. Your worship, I read that. Can I start at page 13, count 32?
Yes, as you please.
Yes. Now, can you read that charge, count 32? Read it in the record. Is there, just for to be fair to you, is one of the charges against Ms. Olivia Dunaiski. Can you read it for the record?
Count 32, fraud, in that during the period of 8 July 2022 to 4 May 2023, at or near Windhoek, in the district of Windhoek, the said accused did wrongfully, unlawfully, falsely, and with intent to defraud, give out, and pretend to Enercon Namibia Pty.
Okay,
LTD.
Just end there for now. So that charge of fraud, it's fraud being committed by Dunaiski against Enercon. Enercon is the victim. That means that according to, because you give out and pretend to Enercon. If you don't agree with me.
No, I
read, complete, first complete the whole chart.
Okay, to Enercon Pty Ltd, that as an employee of NAMCOR, to wit, commercial manager, she had the board approval to purchase 9 service stations from Enercon Namibia and therefore caused NAMCOR to suffer an actual loss of 53,212,000, whereas in truth and in fact, the accused, when she so pretended, did not have the board approval. Therefore, the accused did commit the crime of fraud.
Mr. Inambao, if you honestly, as a senior investigating officer who have worked for Namibian Post, already you would have picked up serious problem with these charges in 3 respects. Can you pick out 1 or 2? If not, I will assist you. Serious problem.
Mr. Ramanje, you have already picked up 1.
You
pretended to Enercon.
Yes.
And, you know, Your Worship, if you allow me, I believe when these charges were being prepared, this was the time when Mr. Advocate Lungwe was actually just coming out from sick leave.
What do you mean now?
No, what I'm trying to say is the...
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Lipurane ngeno wapongwa evatero ulikoni maondo tupengida.
Placement of words. That could have happened given the amount of time that is...
But do you know that you are bound in a bail application to the charges you gave? This is the charges my client came to court and show that the case, state case is weak. It is on these charges the court will be working. Do you know that?
That's
yes,
right.
They are.
That's right.
So, but you, I think you are trying to run away again. But you agree with me, this is, in fact, this charge does not make sense to the extent that it appears as if it is not even on the charge sheet. It's a useless charge. The victim is Enercon. The prejudice is to the victim of fraud is on Enercon, while the prejudice is to someone else. What kind of law is this? Very bad. Mr. Inamba, why did you rush to arrest people when you are not ready? Why?
Why did I rush to arrest people?
Yes,
Your Worship.
And put my colleague under pressure for the state. Your house was not in order, and is still not in order.
Can you just allow him an opportunity to comment? You asked the question, why did you rush to arrest people? He was about to respond, and you proceeded.
Your Worship, the investigations was at an advanced stage. So as to whether the prosecution had sufficient time to properly put charges, Your Worship, that is something within the prosecution. As far as from the investigations is concerned, Your Worship, it is out of place to say that the investigations was not ready, Your Worship.
But the problem you have is not the public prosecutor who goes in the witness box. It is you under oath who was tearing us and all and sundry today that this case is strong. You can't go to prosecution war with such kind of charges.
Your Worship, there are preliminary charges.
So something else is coming, not this charge. So they are preliminary.
The duty to provide for the charges as per the charge sheet, Your Worship, is for the prosecution.
Okay, let me make it difficult for you again. Now, let's go to bring it closer home to my client. Go to page 14.
Page?
14.
40. 1-4.
Yes.
And I want to take you right to the 2:45. You see, count, 37 at page 15, your. You see that count? Starting at page 15 at the bottom.
That's right.
Now, over the page, can you read it out?
Count 37, contravening section 45, subsection 1. Subsection B, read with section 32 and 49 of the Anti-Corruption Act, 2003, Act 8 of 2003, dealing, using, holding, receiving, or concealing gratification in relation to any offense. In that is now page 16, that during July 2022, at or near Windhoek, in the district of Windhoek, the accused did directly or indirectly, whether on behalf of himself or on behalf of any other person and or entity, to wit, Enercon Namibia Pty Ltd, received an amount of $53,212,000, which was obtained as gratification or proceeds of fraud or money laundering.
Okay, let me just ask you one question before I then demonstrate again that honestly you could have done better. But let me first make, you see the word or between gratification or proceed. Do you see that usage of the word or?
Okay, give me.
The same thing you read now, after 53 million, it say which was obtained as gratification. You see that?
Yes.
Or proceed. So it's a choice. Which one? You are the investigating officer. Is it gratification or proceed? Or you don't know?
Your worship, I would say both.
No, why did you not use and? It can never be both. It can never be both.
Your worship, is what is on the paper?
Yes, I know it is what is on paper, bad as it is.
Your worship, but it can also be one way or another. But in this regards, it can be both.
Okay, so you are not sure?
Your worship, the 53 million was proceeds.
Okay, so you are sure it proceeds?
At the same time, it was a gratification.
Okay, let me make it. And this charge is in terms of section 45 of the Anti-Corruption Act. Go back to page 15. It's referred to contravention 45.
45.
Go to page 60. You see that section 45, you see that?
Just say, are you there?
I'm there, worship.
Page 60.
Yeah, can you read 45? I will say stop. Can you read it? I will say stop. Section 45, can you read it, please? At page 60.
Page 60.
Yes.
Yes, you were earlier informed to go to page 15, but then he indicated go to page 60.
Okay, not 16.
No,
60.
60, 60.
I'm there, page 60.
Read 45.
A person commits an offense who directly or indirectly, whether on behalf of himself or herself, or on behalf of any other person.
Okay, read A, B, because your charge referred to B. Only read B.
B. uses or causes to be used or receives, holds, controls, or conceals any property or any part thereof.
Continue. Which was?
Which was obtained as gratification or derived from the proceeds of any gratification obtained in the omission of an offense under this chapter.
Okay, now let's go back to page 16. The two offenses that are mentioned at page, your worship, page 16, line 4, are fraud and money laundering. You see that?
I see that.
But those are not charges under chapter 4 of Anti-Corruption Act.
Yes, they are not under the chapter 4.
Do you have the right to amend laws through charges?
Your worship, I don't have the right to amend laws.
Why are my clients charged with something that is not possible as far as the Anti-Corruption Commission is concerned? Do you know why?
Your worship, I cannot say why this is the case, but...
This is wrong, and you must accept it if you are unbiased. It's wrong.
I'm saying, Your Worship, it's probably an omission because of the amount of pressure that the prosecution team had to deal
with. Who is to blame for this pressure? You appear to be blaming my clients. If there is pressure, who is to blame?
No, I'm not blaming your clients.
Who are you blaming?
I am not blaming anyone. I am saying at the time. I remember because Advocate Lilungwe came, from sick leave, and he had to sit through the night to make sure that these charges were done. Anyone can make a mistake.
So now you call a mistake a strong case. You called this morning these wrong things, you called them a strong case.
In terms of the evidence that we have gathered, we have very good evidence which amounts to a strong case.
But for you to have evidence, you need, in the first place, there must be charges, proper charges.
I'm sure the state will still correct this as they are preparing their indictments.
When are they going to correct?
As they are preparing their indictments.
No, but that is later.
Of course,
this is in
later.
The bail application with wrong charges.
Yes, and I believe I've answered your question, because these offences are not under Chapter 4, and that is an error that was made.
It's not acceptable, and I will demonstrate further. Your Worship, can we have a coffee? Can we have 10 minutes? It's cold, so that I can just get coffee. 10 minutes.
Tea break. Yeah, we can maybe 10, 20, just...
Ten, Your Worship.
10. The court then takes a break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge fada fanona monika ko IGL FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane IGL FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Enshangwe, ki mizuzu ye lishumi ni ye tano, ye selove hile kwa hola ya vuveli, kona kuli vakuta kapa muzeko, ukonle kuya fa kapo mulonyana, ye ni vakonle kukupa kapo mulonyana ka mizuzu ye lishumi. Mi lusepakuli kasamla wa mizuzu ye lishumi, vakakona kuto zuela pili. Ni haike hansika kona kutereza kuli ni mfekavu kuswa ni maslos. Kuli ze sweli kweza hala kili kama nyi, vakensa kuli nenisio. Neni ile kwa mzeko wa baba tamirwe. Mamzeko wa fish rot, kona kone ninzi. Mio na mzeko wani, vaizo ukasha kuli uka, vau isize. Yeni, kona kuli mzeko vau isize, kapa vau kasherize. Kwerie, haikava ni mazazi ama shumi ama veri ni liriling. Kona kuli kari 21 August. Muzeko wani kona ukazwe la pili. Mi kona kuli halu salitezi kuli muzeko wali na ukone kuzwe la pili. Mwendi nitali mefela. Kavu kuswani. Elitavaza vango kize konle kuvihiwa. Eni. Kuna nilitavaze nivoni. Ze vihiwe. Mi nika kona kumifa. Mwami zuzu yelu saritezi. Yeni. Kwa nongi nisikaiza kare chualo ni vata kubwana kapa kuna ni vata telerize. Ni vata kubwana kapa kuna ni vata telerize. Haku si chualo. Na kona kuinela fela. Nge nivulela ni nosi. Kuli ni shinye nako. Haisi mzeko haukazwe la pili. Mwondili zeze. Lutwe kapa mutengi ko, muterelize mzeko. Osweli kumata fa programu ya unafa. Na zivakuli voma sule va terezanga. Chale kusaa zivakuli. Vopita nimi na muterelize. Nani vomulika nivani va. Vavalizanga fela onachualo. Eni. Havailize zilizezi fela kwa ono nishunguzi kulikiva terezi. Va. Anza paki wireless yao na paki program yao na kono vaa tele zanga. Kono havali zilizi fela. Yeni. Kono nevali zize. Inge kiviki eferile yani. Kapaki yale viki. Kone vali zize. Mimulize. Lutwe kapa mutele lize. Kapa ninzi ninosi njichu anifa. Anizivi. Kono mulize lutwe. Nikone kuzivakuli. Kuna nivatu. Kwali neku kwali. Yeni, kwa maferelezo kwali. Kulikana kuna ni vava terelize. nearly tezi. Nimi for no nimi fe number. How many zivi number? Ah wa number of my zivan that. Ni na ni sepa ya kuli hakuna. Ve seva sa zivi number ya luna kwan kwa sipi. Kafela una wa ziva number ye. Kwa na kuli. Mulize? Nivone kapa kuna nivatu. Hakuna. Ninzi ni nosi. Okay. Kupana hala urimende ninzi ni nosi. Kona kuli. Ensha. Kona kuli kuna nipi ho ye nivoni ye vihirwe kwa makande. Mi piho ye. Ivale hasna chwana. Munifefela kavakanyana ni ivate. Na haike anzivi kapa mteni. Kwa li nekuko kapa chwana. Iyeni. Ansa ivata kudulubone kuli. Hape ile kai heva ni nivo nafa. Vakulu na vahesu ni. Ile kai heva ni nivo nafa. Kwa ile kakai. Kona kulikipiho ya muna ya nafu manu ifanjanji. Neni vala. Mze kwa hano sweli kumata. Chole ni koma kakuli. Ile kai. Hanisa ivona. Kono ni valire. Kona kulina kona kumikandike la fela. Kuli piho yeo I vihain. Eni, kona kuli ki muna ya nafumanwi nilikolo falo. Fanjanji, kutisene siyeza hezi. Baba matisa stima ni mutusi wavona. Nevatrole muhasika sene sinzi fanjanji. Kapa manjanji. Eni. Miseli kuye msastima kuli vayotalima. Kuli kisikama inwa kengisa. Kuli nekusava na hali kuli kisikama inse sinzi manjanji. Mi hava tulukile. Seli kuyofumana mutu. Ya holofezi. Kutina ana nilikolo falo kwa mazoho wa hae. Ni inge ni kwa mautu wa hae. Eni, miseva liza za mapokola, baba tulomunga ni kumuisa kwa spatela. Kwa nakuli unzi ma spatela, mi kukuluvela kuli unzi mama yemo. Anzi hande. Eni, kwa nakuli unzi mama yemo. Anzi hande. Mi mwalita vazengwi. Nekuna ni kukwala kwa mzeko. Mi mzeko ono kwaluzwi. Bakengisa mlao oriteni wa selelezo ya rifolo-folo. Zezko na kuyunda. Kapa zesezi yunda. Mi mzeko ono uzo kwala la savata. Kona kuli mapokola vavulela kuli, kapa mapokola vaviha kuli, ne kuna ni yana tamiri. Masi baka sao kahanja, kahola ya vulishumi ya vusihu. Kasamlaho, alipatiso zene yezwa ki mapokola, masi baka sao kahanja. kona kuri vana bavalalo ne vafumanwe ni sifolo fol service kuri kiskape mwasilozi se sileka mashilingi alika na 50,000 Namibian dollars mi nevasinari ngolo le valumela kuva ni sona sifolo folo se kisi folo folo kisi muna nsana hin kwa na kutineva sinari ngolo le valumela kuva ni sona simuna nusa mana hengise se sisirelezwa kamlao mi neva konle kutamiwa yeni mi mama kande amangwi yensha ninska kaifa kon ninska kai kona kuri mama kande amangwi vori kwambuyu varikolo leri vona za lizoropiri mwari vaka za matakanyani ni ritolopo vo sankwasa James sankwasa vakonle kufatayo kuva milonga ya ritolopo mwana hanamibia kuri vakone kusia kuseverisana ni va Red Force kona kungari koloti kwa hava ya hii vari tolopo vava kolota mitaelo ye kitaelo ye konle kufiwa kwa mameyas ni ma chief executive officers va milonga nyana kuri vaskeva kona kukena matumelelano kapa kusaina litumelelano ni va Red Force mi va konle kuvelela kuri va Red Force ku kungari koloti za va milonga nyana kukonle kutisav tatahulu mas fumu sana ha hamochalo ni mas politiki mi onaritavaze zikon le kutisa mifirifiri kwa vayahi hamocholo ni ritolopo kona kuri kaofela ritumelano ze riteni ni va Red Force ziske za ncha fazwa kasamlaho akufita kwa maperelezo kivo sankwa savao vene vavulela cholo mivaekerize kuvulela kuri kubani vese vakeni mari tumelano ni Red Force vakone kufedisa ritumelano zeo bahaniswa aha vani bavasikake nakale maritumelano ni va Red Force vasike vaeza chwalo bahanisizwe kuona kuli vahaniswa kukena maritumelano ni va Red Force eni mi vavulezi kuli tayeloye ilukela kulatererwa vakengisa kuri vayahi va Namibia vakonle kusitatafaliswa ki ona misevezi ye ya va Red Force yeni ensha vasilutopwi Mtazi chani. Asi mwinzi ni mamaika ama veri kwa mlomo wami nako.
Mwavei, ye. Yeah.
I know that message.
Kia nive.
Ye, nisho.
Aba mwiozu wakai.
Mene nilite nilipate ile fedha kwa kwali ofisi kwa.
Mm-hmm.
Antoli ni tae se kutofta vaengi baba mhape.
Mm-hmm.
Kumeba sika inana kwa etele.
Yeah. Aha.
Kubonara kuli kukaba nilichinche hainyani. Kwa alina neho la luna. Nilibele zifela kuli kutuwa kuli tungibazo na litabazeli kibufi. Kona kuli silutupi. Kukaba ni programu yencha. Chole kuta bafelezi kuli, bafelezi kai.
Baile fela fanto. Baile fela fa break.
Ki break ya mizuzu yemika?
Iga bafelezi 10 minutes.
Hamaswari kutari mamina.
Malen tari mezi fa 10.
Mbasega isa na koyanto, ya Afrika.
Na tomane, bafelezi, inga bafelezi 10 minutes. Mavaska ya kaleri dum. Nensha.
Kona kuri. Nikuna ni vene valini zilize mavani wazo kwa hai kwa. Kuri ha uswanenge baba soli uswanenge baba kula nibo George nibo na nibani sweli ma fellow aviki kuti baba kula bakensa kuri ha kuna nibo kula
baba kula
Baking. Imo kwa kusa uteleza. Seniri bati likasoli zaluka. Likasoli zaluka. Alika luka. Mkakala kulutwa. Ni kwama wateka ufele walulizeza. Ni kwa mawa teka ufeza valulizeza. Kona kuli aluko ni kumifaha ndeza za itaba kafutungi za NDP6. Nisali velezi Nisali velezi Nisali velezi lipampili zaka kuli iluke. Alika aluka lipampili zaka nikavea ya pate ila hulu. Kakuli sunako misupeza kuli. Sesi eza hala kisikama. Mainako zeipitezi.
Okay, kera vai okuta.
Mr. Namanje?
Yes, it's the court issue. Now, Mr. Inambao,
Now that I have laid the basis, let us now start with the actual cross-examination. I want to be brief and direct. Please listen to the questions. Only answer my questions. You understand?
I understand, and I'll answer it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
So if I have to expand, and you must just agree that I must be allowed to expand as well.
I will monitor you. What I'm saying, just listen to the questions. Now, I want to put this proposition to you as a former police officer and authorized officer at ACC. You have considered that there are a number of ways to secure attendance of an accused person to court. Number of ways, not arrest alone. You, at the beginning of my cross-examination, we dealt with that. You remember? Right. And when you say to secure attendance, do you agree with me? It's primarily for purposes of a trial.
Of course.
But, of course, if the consideration of justice dictate, it is only then a person can be prematurely be brought to court when the trial date is not within a short period of time. Do I need to repeat?
I hear you, but I don't agree with you.
Okay. So you understand the
because question. The moment you bring, you secure the attendance of the accused person, it means, you know, their legal representation comes in, investigation says to be concluded and so forth and so on. So there's a number of factors. But ultimately, is to ensure that the person, you know, stands trial.
You don't understand. It's very clear. Look. People can come to a criminal court for purposes of a trial. Is that correct?
Not entirely correct. For you are not going to secure the attendance of the accused person directly for trial.
Listen, the end object is for a person to stand trial.
And that's what I said.
Okay, fine. But it's only if there are grounds to arrest, to bring a person to court prematurely, when you are not ready, can you arrest a person to come to court? Do you agree with me?
I don't think I'm hearing your question.
I can repeat.
Please do.
If the end object of getting a person accused to come to court, the ratio behind it, it's a trial, and I mean a trial, then it must follow that in cases like in this case where you are not ready for trial, it's premature, there must be a reason that triggered a premature summoning or arresting of a person to come to court before the trial date is set, the indictment is not there, the charges are half cooked, whatever. There must be a reason for you to prematurely. It's not just a nice thing to have.
I don't agree with your statement, okay. Mr. Namanje.
Okay.
A lot of work has been put in terms of the investigations and the evidence that has been gathered.
Okay.
So for you to say that the trial date should be, you know, just close, that is not accurate.
Okay, fine. So, otherwise, then it must follow your logic is this. If there is good evidence, even if you're not done, if you want, you can just arrest. The next day you ask for a postponement for further investigation. Is that the way you work?
Your Worship, investigations has been conducted for at least over 12 months.
Yes.
A lot of evidence has been gathered, evidence which proves that there were offenses that were committed.
Okay.
In this regard, the accused persons were brought to court.
But the state is not ready to have them going on trial. The state is not ready.
Your Worship, Mr. Namanje earlier asked me if I was talking on behalf of the state. And I think since he started with the cross-examination, he's been asking me to talk on the state and on the state. But as far as the investigations is concerned, Mr. Namanje, a lot of work has been put.
Your Worship, can the witness please direct it to answer the question? The witness did not answer. And I do not really appreciate a witness trying to argue. The witness didn't answer the question. Your case that you are investigating is not ready for trial.
It's still under investigations, but the investigations are at an advanced stage.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. But you arrested accused persons on the 8th of July when you do not even know when the trial will start because your investigation is not complete.
Your Worship, is not in my position to know, and I'll not be able to tell as to when the trial would be because there's a number of factors that has to take place or come in play before the trial happens.
Okay, but you did not cause my client to be arrested in January. You waited for July. Is that correct?
I don't understand what you are implying.
Yeah.
Because I know they were arrested in July.
Okay, let me make it clear. So it's a matter of choice when you want to do it. It's not dictated by the need to bring them to trial. It's just that because you have the power, you can exercise them anyway. You could have delayed it for 3 days. Nothing would have happened to the administration of justice. That's what I'm trying to say. You have these massive powers. There is no trigger event. You just wanted your hands to be laid over my clients and bring them to court, even when you have this wrong and bad charges. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not triggered by a particular...
Yes, counsel, can you just make your questions short?
Okay.
So that he can answer.
Okay,
look. Yes, it's not triggered by any, if...
That is not accurate, Your Worship.
Okay.
There is a process that is being followed. Investigations was ensured.
Yeah.
Evidence was collected.
Yes.
By January, the month that you are referring to, maybe by that time the investigation was not at the level where it is currently is.
Okay. But tell us, what triggered in July that the accused person indiscriminately must be arrested? What triggered? Why could you not, for instance, wait until today? What triggered the arrest?
But Your Worship, he will still ask me the same question, why I arrest them today? I said already, evidence was collected. Evidence was gathered.
Okay. Should I record it? Your answer, the trigger event, the evidence was collected.
What I said earlier is, the investigations are at advanced stage, and therefore, the accused person's attendance was secured so that they can be brought to court, Your Worship. We finalize the few outstanding issues here and there.
Okay, so you were monitoring. If you have evidence up to this level, you would just then exercise your power to arrest. That's a trigger event. You were waiting for evidence to reach a certain stage. You are not ready for trial. Investigation is not complete. Then you arrest.
Your Worship, you cannot arrest a person on an investigation of this magnitude when you have one statement, because you will be shooting yourself in the foot in terms of the work. We needed to make sure that the level of work that has been put in place at least justifies and proves that there are offenses that were committed.
Okay. I don't know whether you get it. Your answers are actually dangerous to your case. But I will ask in relation to another aspect. So, fine, you say you collected evidence. You cannot arrest if there is one statement. You waited until you have how many statements?
Your Worship, this is a significant investigation. I would not be able to tell the court how many statements we have.
Okay.
But I know when the prosecution was dealing with the charges, they had to go through over 20 volumes. And in total, Your Worship, we have at least over 40 volumes of evidence that we have gathered.
No, no, it's fine. Please remember that people cannot be arrested on arbitrary basis. Your action must be rational. You understand? Do you know that?
Of course.
The arrest must be necessary. Do you know that?
Of course.
Okay. Let's go over in respect of another aspect. You cannot name, initially you said it was, you cannot arrest on one statement. Now you cannot say how many statements. But was it you who took a decision that they must be arrested? Was it you?
Your Worship, I don't see the relevance of this question, because I work for the Anti-Corruption Commission. When a decision is made, it's made by the commission, not by me. I'm the investigating officer. It means we have processes in place that we put in place as to how investigations are conducted.
You didn't want to answer the question because it's not relevant, but you ended up disclosing that it's not you who decided.
All eligible Namibian voters who missed out on last year's registration of voters, do not despair. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025 in preparation for the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. The Electoral Commission of Namibia encourages all Namibian citizens who reside in local authority areas to register if they meet the requirements. To register, simply bring proof of your identity, age, and Namibian citizenship. To register for local authority elections, ensure you have proof of residence for the last 12 months. Not able to prove your residency in a local authority? Don't worry, you can confirm your residency by way of a sworn affidavit at the registration point. A right not exercised is a privilege wasted. Do not neglect your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
So in some cases, you can have good cases, but you don't arrest until the PG decides. Is that correct? In some cases, you can have good evidence. You don't arrest until the state is ready with an indictment in its hands. Investigation is concluded. Indictment is there. Everybody ready for trial.
Each case, Your Worship, is dealt on its own merits, and it's also dependent on the seriousness of the case that is being investigated and the complexities that are involved. Your Worship, also taking into consideration of, you know, interference with investigations and so forth and so on.
Yes, sir.
So there's a number of factors that are taken into consideration.
But in this matter, I have been asking you, your reason was not a fear of interference by my client. I have been asking you. Now, why are you talking about interference in general?
Your client is not the only person that is before the court.
Okay, fine. Okay. So, but let me make it clear. So, can I record it? For purposes of my argument then, the sole reason why on the 8th, my clients were arrested is because a stage has been reached where you have what you call a good case. That's the sole basis.
Your Worship,
based on what you told the court.
An arrest is part of investigation processes.
Okay. Shocking. Okay, now let me take it further. But did you consider how illogical your approach is? In that the next day, the first day of appearance, the public prosecutor at your request asked that the state is not ready for trial, the matter must be postponed for further investigation.
And your worship, I have said it before that the matter is still under investigations. Okay. There was no point when I said investigations is completed.
Or yeah, no. Completed. I never said that. All I'm trying, I'm showing how illogic your policy or your action. You go and collect people from their houses. There is no trigger event relating to interference or running away. It's just a good case. You, without exercising a discretion, you arrest. You fill up the court role. That's why you people are under pressure, unnecessarily.
I'm not sure I can comment on that one, Mr. Namani.
If you don't want to comment, it's fine.
Because there's no way that it was illogical, the decision that we took. We took a logical decision, a decision that was informed by the amount of evidence that this, you know, the commission has gathered.
But you made a fatal statement that will work against your case. You are not the one who decided to arrest. You said that. Who was that?
I said,
name the person.
I said the commission.
No. Commission does not speak. Say the person. Commission, if it is a director general, you must say. If it is a deputy director general, you must say. If it is the chief of investigation and prosecution, you must say.
No, Mr. Amanje, I don't have the answer for you. All I'm saying is investigations was at an advanced stage and a decision was made because of a number of other factors.
But then it is very clear, if that person, unknown person, didn't arrest my client, you wouldn't have arrested because it's not your decision.
I'm not sure of the unknown person that you are talking about.
We won't know because you don't want to disclose the person.
No, Mr. Namanje, investigations have been conducted. It has reached an advanced stage. And at that point in time, a decision has been made in order for us to make sure that, you know, all the other outstanding issues are finalized.
Do you know, I think you appear to, do you know that this is a country of a rule of law?
I'm very much aware
of
that.
That you must only exercise the power that you have, don't exercise the powers do you do not have. Do you know about that?
I'm very much aware of that.
Do you also know that you can only arrest a person if you yourself, the mental part of it is satisfied that there is reasonable suspicion, the arrest is necessary, so someone must account for the arrest.
And I'm standing here. But I'm the investigating officer.
You didn't take the decision?
No, Mr. Ramanje.
What is no, Mr.
Ramanje? When I'm saying the investigation has reached an advanced stage, it means it has. And one of the investigation process is to secure the attendance of the accused persons to court. And that's what we have done. As far as exercising our powers, we made sure we exercised our powers within the rights. We exercised our work within the rights that we are also given.
Say, why is it difficult to tell the truth? What I'm saying, I thought you said earlier you did not make a decision. Now you are saying, no, Mr. Namanje.
When I stand here,
yes,
I represent the commission.
Yes.
So, and when I'm saying we have a process within the commission that is followed,
yes,
so it means I'll stand by for it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is there shame to disclose transparently who made the decision to arrest? Is there any shame?
If you have a name of somebody that you think has made that decision, Mr. Namanje, maybe you can help me.
Your worship, can we go? Get the witness directed to...
Yes, sir, just answer. But the question, Mr. Namanje, has been asked. The witness is saying the commission made the decision. You want an answer, but he is saying the commission made the decision,
Your worship,
and he is
asked
not.
A different question altogether.
And Your Worship, I have to object, because I think for the past 5 minutes, the question has been asked and answered, just a bit different. He wants a name, and he has said... The commission took a decision. The commission, not him. So I don't know if he wants a name, but he has answered. He has said that the commission took a decision.
Your worship, what the last question was, is there shame in disclose. I'm now asking the ratio, the reason for not disclosing. I'm no more asking the name. The witness must answer the question, Your Worship. It's a country of, I mean, an arresting officer is the first time in my brief, but active and busy.
You have put your question, just brief question. Say, is there shame? What is your comment?
There is no shame, Your Worship, and I've answered it already. Okay. And I said I am here, and I represent the commission.
But you, I think you are contradicting. When you say you are here, but you are not the person who took the decision. You continue saying, when I ask another question, you say I'm here. What does that mean?
Mr. Ramanje, I believe I've answered your question.
No, listen to me. Fine, I have asked about shame. Is it privileged to disclose who is an arresting or a person who took a decision?
You know, when I said the commission, yes, it means there are different levels of structures.
Yes.
And when a case is being investigated, it goes through these different levels of structures.
Yes.
And hence I said, at a point, once we have reached a certain point in the investigations,
yes,
then a decision is made for us to secure the attendance of the accused persons to court.
Yes, but it's fine. I'm asking this question for two reasons. One is on your credibility as a witness. One, in respect of an issue, the issue of necessity of arrest, because you cannot account for it because you are not the decision maker.
Mr. Ramanje, I have been in charge of the investigations.
Okay.
And I've indicated that investigations are at advanced stages, and at that point, a decision was made to arrest.
Okay. You did not arrest my client because you had information that my two clients, they wanted to run away. That's not the reason. That's not the reason. Whoever decided.
A number of factors contributed to that.
No.
But I did mention that we reached a certain point where we had overwhelming evidence, as I indicated in the examination in chief.
Your Worship, honestly, we cannot go on like this. If they with my clients were also asked by court and directed to answer simple questions, can this witness just stick to the questions I'm asking? Continue going back to the, we reach the certain stage. I want to be specific, Your Worship. The witness must just answer question.
What is your answer?
Your Worship, is because the same question is being asked, no, just in a different way.
The witness is protesting against court. Can the court direct the witness, please?
So what is your answer? Are you saying you have answered the question, or what are you saying?
I believe I've answered the question. Maybe you can rephrase the question, Your Worship.
Yeah, just be serious. We are not playing here, sir. Look, I'm putting it to you. You did not arrest my two clients because you have information they wanted to run away from Namibia. I'm putting it to you.
No.
Okay. I'm putting it to you, you did not arrest my client because you had information that they will interfere with investigation.
No.
Say, you did not arrest my client because they will be danger to the society if not arrested until you complete your investigation.
No, Your Worship.
Now I wonder why. Okay, let's go to another issue. Do you know that, I will assist you, do you know that even when you have a warrant of arrest, you have a discretion not to arrest? Do you know that? Have you ever read judgment saying that?
Yes, the discretion is there.
That even if you have a warrant of arrest from a magistrate, you can still exercise a discretion not to arrest because it's not necessary.
That's correct.
Okay. Do you know the requirement both in the Criminal Procedure Act and in the Constitution that a person being arrested must be promptly and fully informed of the grounds of his arrest? Do you know, though?
That's right.
in relation to this matter, did you comply with such obligations at the time of arrest?
Most definitely.
Okay. So, I understand you that in relation to the grounds of arrest appearing in the purported warrant, you fully and promptly informed my clients?
That's correct.
Do you agree with me that if you do not understand the elements of a particular offense, then there is no way you would have fully and promptly informed a suspect? If you don't understand, as a police officer or a member of ACC, you don't understand the elements of the offense, it will be difficult, in fact, impossible for you to explain meaningfully to an accused person.
When a person doesn't understand the charges, that might be the case, Your Worship. But in this regard, we made sure that the charges which were on the warrants, we understand the elements of those charges.
Okay, no. I want to take you to the charge and demonstrate that, in fact, you don't understand, Mr. Inambao.
Sure.
Okay. Now, and that is what I'm going to do.
Maybe before you proceed, it's opportune time for the court to take a lunch break.
Yes, the court, please.
Yes. The court adjourns until 1400.